Welcome to the final edition of Bunny's First 11 podcast, and we're looking back, not for the first time, Graham, on a defeat, but this is a game with a lot of happy memories for you in spite of that.
Yeah, actually, to be honest, you forget that we lost this game because it was such an amazing game. I think I wanted to finish the podcast with a little bit of fun, a little bit of enjoyment and stuff like that. And obviously this game against Sussex was, yeah, of course we lost, but we had a lot of fun on the way, and we had won the championship.
Yes, just to explain to listeners, you'd won the championship here at Chesley Street against Nottinghamshire the previous week. So you went down to Sussex with the pressure off. And last game of the season is always a bit of a celebration. You had a milestone to aim for, a couple of people managed career bests, and said goodbye to Will Smith, who played his last game for the club.
Yeah, all those things, really. I mean, I remember obviously personally for myself, we had won, and there's no better feeling to winning that home, and then of course going to an amazing place like Sussex and you know, I suppose having a good time, and actually just knowing that we've won and enjoying the cricket. And I suppose I say that and think, well, you should do that every time, but it's just, you know, it's not as easy as that. Of course, for me, I wanted to get that 70 wickets. That was important. There was talk about maybe, you know, potentially resting and not playing. But of course, for me, it was a case of going out there and trying to get that milestone for myself, really. But yeah, I mean, of course, we were saying bye to Will Smith, which was quite sad, but. Of course, it was quite important to give him a good send-off.
Absolutely, yeah. And how easy or difficult is it? Obviously, you had your own personal incentives, but as a team, to play in those circumstances where, really, there isn't anything to play for?
Yeah, I mean, on that note, a little bit, the lads were going to an Ashes summer, and I'd, after the Notts game, bearing in mind I'd had a pretty successful summer. I got a phone call from the selector saying I hadn't been picked to go to Australia and play in the Ashes away. So of course, for me, we'd won the championship, but I was going to Sussex on the bus. That just absolutely devastated. I was gutted. So of course I was a bit deflated, but we'd won the championship, so I was a bit of I didn't really know how to feel, to be honest. But that's the reason why I played that game, is because I just thought to myself, right, I'm just gonna play, and I'm gonna do as well as I can, and try and get the 70 wickets, but also prove to the selectors that I'm a quality bowler. And that's something which I've done all my career. But on that moment, then I was desperate to say, right, you haven't picked me, and you should have. I'm gonna show you that you're wrong. Ultimately, the game, I suppose, didn't quite have that edge because we had already won and we're having a bit of fun and stuff like that. But you know, you have to enjoy it. And the reason why I've chosen it is because we had won the championship, and it was just such an amazing season, amazing 4 or 5 days down in Sussex.
Yeah, just to explain to people, you went into the game with 66 county championship wickets. Only Otis Gibson, who took 80 in his incredible year, had taken 70 or more, so you were the first Englishman to do that. And it's a heck of an achievement, really, over the course of a long county season.
Yeah, it was one of those seasons where things just worked my way. You know, you get your wickets up front, and then you clean the tail up a little bit, and things just seem to go my way. Ultimately, you need to bowl a lot of overs, and I did, and that's the reason why I was potentially not going to play down in Sussex, because I felt a bit deflated anyway, and then obviously not getting selected, and then of course I had pretty heavy legs. But once I come to that decision, I was like, no, I want to play. You know, there's no point in me going down there. And people sometimes say it was a bit of a stag do, you know, a bit of fun, which it wasn't. I mean, we still went out there, and we had all intentions of winning. Of course we did, because it was another game for Durham and another opportunity to get some wickets. And there was some amazing performances in this game in itself, really. But I just wanted to play, and I wanted to try and get those wickets that I suppose I deserved throughout the year.
And probably no surprise that, Durham got off to a bit of a slow start in the game, won the toss and batted and were, bowled out for 164. And then it was your chance to bowl, and you managed to get out Chris Nash and Michael Yardley early on.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, Chris Nash, I think he tried to pull one, maybe in second or third ball, and I think he got like an inside edge, and it fell just short of Colonel, and I was thinking, oh, this is just not going to be my day. But then I pitched it up a little bit. He was hanging back and trapped him LBW, and then did the same to Michael Yardley. So of course, straight away, that them 70 wickets were certainly looked as though I was going to get them. But I mean, that game in itself was just such a surreal game, because you know you'd already won. And to keep that competitive edge and to keep that that drive to just constantly keep on bowling overs and keep on taking wickets was actually really good fun. For once in a year, I was thinking, well, I'm actually, the season's going to finish. I'm going to have a bit of a break in the winter. I'm going to just kind of relax a little bit, and I'm going to enjoy the wickets as it comes, really. But I mean, obviously it was a disappointing result, but it was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, from reaching 68 wickets there, then a bit of a frustrating time. Luke Wright scored 87, always seems to score runs against Durham, and Ben Brown scored runs, Asher Zaidi, you were stuck on 68 for quite a while.
Yeah, I was, yeah, and it was quite strange, really, and I don't know why I didn't realise, but it was probably halfway through the day, and I took my first couple of wickets, and I came on for my second or third spell, I think it was, and I took the second new ball later on in the day, and I probably bowled around about 15 overs off the wrong run-up, and I generally didn't realise. I was thinking, why? Because I bowled a few new balls, I didn't know what was going on. Probably didn't bowl as well as I had. Luke Wright was hitting the ball to all parts, and I said to Collier, I said, I've been bowling about 15 overs off the wrong run-up. He said, well, what did you do that for? So I obviously didn't mean to. Went back to my old run-up and then obviously managed to get McGoffin out, which was obviously quite a big wicket.
Absolutely, yeah. That gave Sussex a lead of 164, which was obviously, well, double Durham score, so it's a big lead in that context. But then the second innings was quite a memorable, Durham's second innings was quite a memorable occasion for quite a few players. You had three players in that innings, Keaton Jennings with 127, Michael Richardson batting at 8 with 129, and Usman Arshad coming in at 9 with 83, all scored career bests.
Yeah, I mean, the massive luxury of having in that season having Michael Richardson adding strength and depth to your batting at number 8 was got us. He batted with the tail really well, he could manipulate the strike a little bit, but he scored a lot of runs, best part 850 runs I think throughout the summer. And I know as a bowler, you think that you got down to 8, 9, 10, 11 and then you got Michael Richardson coming in, who was obviously a strong performer. He had a good summer, and probably the most important thing at that stage was we thought it was going to be a 3-day finish, and I thought we're going to be back on the coach on the way home, and it was quite a, after obviously an amazing innings by Keaton Jennings and getting, I think, maybe his first class high score, batted a long time, still got to a roundabout tee, and we were thinking, we just need a good partnership purely just to try and stay one more night. So anyway, I think it was Ben Stokes at the time played, put the speakers on as loud as he could, and he put on One More Night. I don't know who sings that again. I can't think of who it was, but it came on One More Night, and we had an unbelievable partnership, and we ended up having One More Night in the beautiful Brighton.
Room 5 was One More Night.
Yeah.
But Usman Arshad had only come into the team a couple of weeks earlier, but you really saw in that period late in the 2013 season the potential he had. I mean, here he scored his runs off 83 off 88 balls with three sixes. I mean, he clearly showed he had a lot about him that day.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously bowled quite nicely when he had the ball in his hand, but I think on that day we had McGoffin, who we know is a very handy, reliable, brilliant bowler really, but also had Chris Jordan that was bowling very fast, just about to play for England, and it was kind of in his prime really. He was bowling, you know, 90 mile an hour, and actually he took him on. Osha took him on and he backed himself and he pulled him for a couple of massive sixes, and that takes some courage, that really, for, you know, number nine to come out there and perform, and them 83 runs were massively valuable really.
And then the big wicket, Sussex put 163 for their first wickets. That must have been very frustrating for you, but eventually you made the breakthrough. You got Luke Wells caught by Paul Collingwood in the slips, and that was his 70th wicket.
Yeah, it was. At that stage, the amazing performance that we had, we generally thought we were going to win this game. You know, we thought we had enough, and it was a spinning wicket. We had obviously Borthwick in the side, we had Smith that could potentially bowl some overs, and somebody else that we'll talk about in a second that potentially might bowl some overs. But we generally thought we had enough, and Luke Wells, I don't think it was the prettiest of innings, but he rode his luck a little bit, but ultimately he got them off to a pretty strong start and gave himself an opportunity. I think Chris Nash scored 100 and got himself to 1,000 runs, so it was kind of all happening, but obviously the wicket that I got of Luke Wells got me to that big 70 wicket point, and then from then, you know, I was quite happy to stop bowling, I suppose, in a way, because, you know, we were in a position where they didn't need many runs to win, and the game had kind of gone a little bit really, but that for me was to get the 70 wickets was a bit of a relief, but also a great achievement really.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that for the second season running, you just proved that you were the best bowler in county cricket. It was a real purple patch you had over those 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very lucky that when I bowl well, I've picked up wickets. I mean, you've got different types of bowlers. You know, you've got, for example, off the top of my head, you know, Callum Thorpe, that never picked up a great deal of wickets, but it was also, but was a strong performer. He did a fantastic job. And I've been very lucky that throughout the years, that especially the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, I've picked up a lot of wickets. Not gone for a lot of runs, but picked up a lot of wickets. And of course, people look at, you know, who's taking the most wickets. But if you're taking wickets but you're going for a lot of runs, then, you know, it's defeating the object a little bit. But yeah, I mean, those 2 seasons where I was picking up a lot of wickets and not going for many runs, and the average was low, and I was very much in the peak of my game, really.
Yeah, so to have had an achievement like that, and in the end, your wicket wasn't even the most talked about of the day. I mean, Phil Mustard came on and took a wicket. How did that happen?
It still doesn't sound right, does it? The only thing that would have been made it maybe even better is if Mustard had bowled and Onions had caught it, had slipped or something like that. But no, I mean, at the time, I mean, we had obviously Michael Richardson, who was in batting at 8 as a batsman, but he put the pads on, and Phil Mustard said, "Oh, I'm going to have a ball." So he came running down the hill. First ball, googly, defended it, Luke Wright. Next one, flipper, because he throughout the season he always talks about, "Oh, I'll ball, I'm ready to ball, skip and stuff like that." Flipper, Luke Wright just got his. He's bat onto it and was given not out, LBW. And I think he got hit for 4. Then next ball, googly again, hit Luke Wright on the pad, played back, and from that day onwards, we've never stopped hearing about it, really. And he was doing cartwheels and celebrations and running around the wicket. Bearing in mind that we were pretty much on the verge of losing the game, this podcast is all about the fun side of it. You know, we lost the game, but we had a fantastic season. We enjoyed our cricket. We enjoyed that week, which you have to do. And although we lost the game, I mean, that moment in itself, seeing obviously Will Smith leave and had on a high note, and Phil Mustard getting that wicket was just topped off an amazing season for Durham County Cricket Club and the players, really.
Yeah, and I guess in common with a lot of successful teams, you all got on well with each other, and moments like that just sort of highlighted it, really.
Yeah, it does. And as I said, it's all about it's all about having fun. It's easy to say, "Oh, have fun" when you're taking wickets, or you know you've got your wicketkeeper taking wickets as well. But it is important that you enjoy. You know, enjoy yourself, enjoy the company of your players. You spend a lot of time, especially from Durham, on the coach and in the hotels. You've got to go out there and enjoy it. And that season for me, that week summed up the whole season. It was, you know, it was good fun. A lot of hard work along the way. A lot of times where we probably had tough periods, but you know we enjoyed it and we came through it.
Yes, because I would guess that in 10, 20 years when you're looking back on your career, the records and the caps and the trophies are nice, but it's probably the friendships that you remember the most.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and throughout from talking, you know, back to one of my earlier podcasts at Leicester, when it was a real tough period in my career, and playing with lads who I'm still playing with now is, and I think that's fantastic, and it's important that we don't forget that, and we don't, you know, you don't finish your career and just walk away from it completely. It's important that you keep your friendship, because you know they've been friends for at least 14 years. You know you've got to keep that friendship going.
Right, well, a great note on which to end the series, Graham. Thank you very much for sharing your memories with us. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, guys.
That was the last in our series of Bunnies First 11 podcasts, but there's still events going on this year for Graham's benefit. You can find out more details about them at www.grahamonionsbenefityear.co.uk.